Hello, my name is Charlie Moores, and you're about to listen to a shortcast by me about snares, part of our series supporting Animal Aid's petition to ban free-running snares. Now, if you're a certain age, and I am, you may remember how snares were often depicted as homemade devices, something a poacher in a TV program might make from a bit of string to catch a rabbit for his dinner, perhaps. We never saw how the animal was killed once it had been snared, of course. That might have upset us as we sat down to eat a lamb's leg or a chicken's breast muscles. But snares themselves seemed relatively harmless, a bit ad hoc, and something that most of us probably assumed disappeared along with black and white televisions, panda cars, red telephone boxes and the pick and mix counter at Woolworths. But snares haven't disappeared. Far from it. They are actually being used on an industrial scale. They're probably being used in a field or a wood near you right now. And of course, they're not made from plant fibres and hazel twigs anymore. They're made from thin steel wire, staved to the ground, set very deliberately along runs or around stink pits, the stench of rotting flesh from previously snared animals, drawing more animals to more snares. They're cheap to buy, easy to use, light to carry, and quickly replaced if you can't quite remember where you left them. They're basically a simple, low-skilled way to kill or maim or injure wildlife. And having said all of that, bizarrely, here in the UK anyway, they are legal to use. At least legal in that sort of riddled with holes way that so much legislation to do with hunting and shooting is legal. While the laws around snares and snaring look sound enough at first glance, they're typically unenforceable, open to interpretation so wide you can barely see the sides, and governed by codes of practice. Those odd little gifts like general licenses that says to the shooting industry over drinks in the members bar, "This is what we'd like you to do, lads." But we know it's tough when killing wildlife to remain within the law all the time, so we won't insist, but do your best, eh? Oh, and to help you get on without too much bother from the masses, how about we fiddle a little bit with the design and sell these things as restraint devices rather than a killing device? How about we say something like, snares must not be set where the animal might hang itself or become entangled or close to water where it could drown. They must never be placed on or near to an active badger set or where livestock could be caught, blah, blah, blah. They mustn't be used in areas regularly and legitimately used for the exercise of domestic animals near public footpaths or housing, blah, blah, blah. You can do all that right. Besides, no one's going to check. We'll let you get on with it. Just don't take the piss so much that the public gets uppity. And by the way, here's a good one we thought up the other day. How about we say the snares must be inspected at least once every day for welfare considerations? That'll really needle the antis, eh? Yeah, animals caught in snares are supposedly protected by the Animal Welfare Act 2006, which places an onus on operators to take reasonable steps to ensure that the welfare needs of all animals under their control, and that includes those caught in a snare, are met. So operators should ensure that the animal is protected from pain and suffering, right up until the moment it is dispatched, which industry lobbyists suggest is best done by blowing its brains out. Presumably as it sits quiet and still after finding itself trapped for up to 24 hours and as the shooter walks towards it. I don't know about you, but the idea of an operator claiming to protect an animal from suffering, fear, pain, dehydration, attacks from other animals, as it's held in a completely unnatural situation that same operator created, leaves me cold. Reality, of course, snares are not the kindly, animal-friendly uncle of the trap world that lobbyists would like us to believe. Wild animals, whether predator or prey, don't behave passively under stressful conditions. Frightened, trapped animals will always try to escape. The internet is awash with images showing animals that have been almost cut in half by snares, that have died wrapped up in them, and that rather than sit and pass the time of day reflecting on how nice it is not to run around for a change, have tried to gnaw off their own limbs to escape. In any case, the big question shouldn't be, are these things animal friendly? They're used to kill animals, clearly they're not. But why are snares still legal in the UK? Why? Because snares are largely used by gamekeepers on shooting estates. Yeah, farmers do use some, but the shooting industry uses huge numbers of them to kill huge numbers of wild animals so that huge numbers of other wild animals can be blasted out of the sky for fun. And because government after government has decided that shooting at live targets is a legitimate practice, and because estate owners tend to be rich and powerful, snaring has been allowed to continue when common sense and any understanding at all of wild animal sentience would tell you it should be banned. In fact, the defence for using snares is often presented by governments as a straightforward, unqualified assertion, something that you and me should see no need to question. The Scottish Government, for example, said in 2013 that pest and predator control is an integral part of land management in Scotland. Just as you may wish to trap or remove mice from your kitchen, land managers frequently need to reduce the impact of pests and predators on their crops or livestock. Really, throwing around the words management, need and pest doesn't convince quite as many people as it used to do. We're much better at spotting what sentences containing those words actually means. Protecting shooting industry profits. Press and media reports rarely seem to point that out. Perhaps they don't understand what they're reporting on. But it's surely also high time that reporters understood that when shooting estates say they need to manage populations of foxes and corvids, it's actually the shooting industry itself that is partly supporting predator numbers by soaking the countryside with high numbers of prey. It's estimated that just 30% of the 50 million pheasants released every year are shot. Many of the rest were available to generalist predators like foxes as roadkill or after succumbing to starvation. Red grouse populations on shooting estates in the uplands can be 10 times higher than natural. In other words, you could respond to the Scottish Government's gormless analogy about mice by saying, if you don't want hundreds of mice in your kitchen, maybe stop pouring sacks of grain on your floor. So what, if anything, can we do about snares? Can we just get rid of them if we find them? Ironically, snares get the sort of protection in law that any decent society would give its wildlife. It is an offence, in quotes, to damage or remove snares and to disrupt a lawful activity such as snaring. Yeah, you could be committing an offence if you destroy something you find highly offensive. Given the recent rulings on pulling down a slave trader's statue in Bristol, there may be more of a defence here than we thought. However, the advice is don't remove them or damage them. How an operator could detect whether a snare has been closed by someone using a twig or a pen is up for discussion, but getting caught doing so is probably not. So what's the alternative? One of the best things most of us can still do is to inform ourselves about snares and snaring and talk to family and friends too. It's striking just how few people realise that snares are still being used. And when you explain that they're still being used to support the shooting industry, and that the shooting industry is partly responsible for creating the problem they claim needs managing by snares, and that the so-called welfare considerations put in place by the shooting industry are self-serving and don't reflect real-life scenarios or how wild animals behave in traps, they don't tend to go, snares, they sound like a really good idea. And of course, if you're listening to this before May 2022, you can point them to Animal Aid's petition to ban the use of free-running snares. Animal Aid, with the Hunt Investigation Team and National Anti-Snaring Campaign, ran a petition to ban snares earlier in 2021 that reached 88,000 signatures. Pretty close to 100,000, so they're trying again. Off the Leash supports the initiative 100%. And if 100,000 of us sign this petition, the government will be likely to have to debate snares in Parliament, giving all of us another opportunity to tell our politicians just what we think about these damnable things. We provided the link in the show notes, but it's easy enough to find online. Go to Animal Aid's website or search for petition 600593. Yeah, snares are legal at the moment. But any society that wants to claim it has compassion and kindness, a love for animals, and a genuine desire for animal welfare at its heart wouldn't allow them anywhere near our countryside or near our wildlife. Thank you very much for listening. Do please have a listen to other shortcasts in this series. You'll find a range of voices and experiences providing convincing arguments to ban snares from our countryside. If you'd like to add your voice, please get in touch. You can leave us a message at offtheleashpodcast.co.uk, on Twitter at OTLpodcasts, or on Instagram at OTLpods. And if you'd like to hear more powerful audio supporting wildlife, animal rights, and the environment, we're on all major streaming platforms. Just look for Off the Leash Podcasts and subscribe for free.